Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Sawbones, a Myrtle Tour of Misguided Medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sydney, quite a feat we've achieved with today's episode.
You mean like how late we are?
No, it is a little bit.
That is a feat.
It is a little bit late. Our daughter would not go to sleep for an hour and 45 minutes last night.
And the night before, she pulled a similar.
She did that, but it was at midnight.
Yeah. We've been having some sleep issues.
It's been having a few sleep issues.
It's okay, though. It's just the 20-month sleep regression. In case you don't have kids yet, let me tell you this.
There's sleep regressions all the time. No matter what you search for, what age, there's a sleep regression to match.
Yeah, exactly. They constantly do it. And basically what it means is at any age, your kid isn't going to sleep. So if you decide to have kids, just don't ever
sleep again.
It's fine. It's fine.
No, the big achievement is that this is our first three combo. We have chained together, Daisy chained, three episodes of Sawbones.
One inspired the other and inspired the other.
So we start with hemophilia.
Right.
And that led us
I had an offhand comment in that episode about how hydrogen peroxide doesn't really work.
Right.
Which, of course, I had to then address in a whole episode.
Right. And then in that episode.
Since I mentioned all the things hydrogen peroxide doesn't really work for, because it doesn't. A lot of people have been asking the question, but what about ears? Because I didn't address, can you dump it in your ears?
You can dump anything in your ears, folks. I say it every time. You can dump whatever you want in your ears.
I guess that
any liquid will go in your ears if properly applied.
Let me reword that statement. Should I dump it in my ears?
If it will remain liquid when exposed to the temperature generated by the human body, it can be dumped in your ears.
Are you endorsing dumping anything in your ear that
anything
you can dump in your ear?
Anything that's liquid, you can dump in your ears, guys.
Okay. Again, let's rework this. Should I dump hydrogen peroxide in my ears? That's been a common question. A lot of people, that along with a lot of people insisting that it's great for cleaning up blood, which that's fine, guys.
That's cool.
I'm a little concerned how many people are adamantly insisting on the internet that they know the trick to cleaning up blood and that they want to share that with everybody. Good. That's fine. But a lot of people want to know about earwax and hydrogen peroxide. And so that made me think, why don't we talk a little bit about earwax?
Yeah.
Because it's something I talk a lot about in my career as well. I spent a lot of time discussing
earwax. Everybody's got it. Nobody knows how to sell it.
Is that something you're trying to do? Sell your earwax?
Figure out how to market it? It's just there, not generating profits.
Do you have a spreadsheet that you've worked out?
Yeah, it's just a big goose egg. It's a big zero. It's not worth anything. Zilcho.
So thank you to people who
I'm a young man in my prime. My earwax should be worth something.
Thank you. Everybody who asked me the question on Twitter, lots of people. I'm sorry, I don't have all your names, but Tamara and Josh and Ashley, you emailed me. So I do have your names and you're searchable easily, quickly. Thank you for suggesting this topic. First of all, can I say something that I'm going to want to reiterate several times, but I want to get this out in front. Please, everyone, stop sticking Q-tips in your ears, please.
Well, now you're putting Q-tips on blast.
Or cotton swabs. And I mean, I should
nobody
use a brand
spared name.
Any cotton tipped swab, please stop sticking them in your ears. They're great for other things, I'm sure, but just don't stick them in your ears
anymore.
They're
good for putting rubbing alcohol and cleaning your Nintendo tapes. That's one thing.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, you can do that with Q-tips. Get it right in there.
Lots of great things I'm sure you can do with Q-tips. Like you could, like crafting, mm-hmm. right? You could build things out of them.
Build fun bridges, bad bridges. Mm-hmm. Just not in your ears, huh?
Just don't stick them in your ears. Just stop.
Okay.
Okay. And we'll talk more about why. But
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
That nobody knows the answer to, kind of a scientific mystery.
Good. What? It set me up that way on our podcast, a question no one knows the answer to.
No one knows the answer to. What is earwax?
Okay. Well, actually, I do know the answer to that.
Okay, good. Imagine my relief.
Earwax, or cerumen, is the other name you can use for it.
That's worse than earwax.
Cerumen is worse?
Improbably.
Really?
Cerumen. Ugh. Gross.
Okay, earwax then. How is earwax not worse? It's like wax from your ears.
Earwax. I don't know. Cerumen is like so worse.
Okay. I would put forth the theory that earwax is worse because it's not accurate. Earwax is not wax.
Oh.
No. It is a natural substance that you are supposed to have in your ears. That's an important thing to know. It is supposed to be there. It's not wax at all. It's a bunch of, there are glands in the outer part of your ear canal that secrete different substances that are sort of made of a kind of a mixture of things, keratin and fatty acids and alcohols and cholesterols, and it's all mixed together with dead skin and hair from inside your ear, and it collects into that, you know, thick substance that seems waxy, and so we call it earwax.
Okay,
but it's not technically wax.
You have made earwax in 30 seconds like 8 times grosser than it was when we started.
How is that gross?
It was wax. Like, where does earwax come from? Nobody knows. That's weird. Probably earwax gnomes or something. Like, they're putting wax in your ear. Why are they doing that?
Ear bees.
Oh, God. maybe ear bees. And then but it turns out it's like dead skin and alcohol and cholesterol and junk.
Fatty acids.
And it's called cerumen. Ugh.
It's a good thing, though.
I hate being a human.
It is an important thing for your ear. So it's okay. So if somebody, you know, I look at a lot of ears and I'll say there's a little wax. That is not a critique. I'm not offering you something that you need to be concerned about. There should be some wax in your ear. That's fine. It's mm-hmm. okay. So first of all, everyone stop worrying so much about earwax. It lubricates the inside of your ear canal.
Mm-hmm.
To help keeps it from drying out. If you didn't have earwax, your ears would get really dry and itchy. So it's important to be there. Plus, it also helps to protect us somewhat from infections, as well as, very practically, from, you know, bugs and things that, sure. like, might want to crawl inside your ear. Things do that. Remember that girl on Survivor who had that worm that crawled inside her ear?
I do remember, Sydney.
Yeah, I think that was awful to watch.
Yeah, so this has been Survivor Recap.
So wax is important, and I don't think that it's gross at all. I mean, it didn't bother me.
Yeah, I noticed you put that in your notes to remind yourself that you don't find earwax gross. It's good.
I think it's an important point to make. I wanted to make that statement that earwax is not gross.
And in case you got stumped trying to remember whether or not you thought it was gross, you got it very helpfully in the notes.
When I'm writing the notes, I kind of just think out loud. So it's like, I just, what I'm thinking. Now, let me say this. While I have already made the case for earwax, that it's okay, that it's there. Yes, of course, like anything else in the human body, too much is a bad idea. So if you have too much earwax, if your ears are kind of crammed full of the stuff and it starts to block off the ear canal, then it can cause some problems. Mainly, you know, you don't hear as well if your ears are clogged with earwax. So, mm-hmm. you know, there is a situation in which you may need to get some of the wax removed. But as a general rule, you don't need to just clean your ears out just mm-hmm. because there's earwax in there. So, you got that?
Got it.
Did I make that point?
I imagine, though, that hasn't stopped people from trying to get it out.
No. People have been trying to get earwax out of their ears with various substances for as long as we've, I don't know, figured out that it was in there to begin with. A lot of the stuff that people talk about today doing it, you know, these aren't really like ancient treatments. They're just kind of folk remedies, home remedies mm-hmm. that have just persisted in who knows which culture, which country, which year they started in. Mm-hmm. But they're the same things that people would probably recommend to you at home today. One of them being hydrogen peroxide. That you just take a little bit of hydrogen peroxide, dump it in your ear, and it will dissolve the wax, is the thought. And you know it's working. It's the same thing with Onicut. You know it's working because it bubbles and fizzes and pops right. and whatever. People have recommended, in addition to that, vinegar. I see that a lot. Dump some vinegar in your ear. Oil has always been, I've heard people say like sweet oil, vegetable oil, olive oil, any kind of cooking oil. You'll see someone saying you should dump it in your ear. Most recently, coconut oil. But I think that's just because coconut oil is so hot right now.
It's very hot.
You know, anything coconut related, people are really into, which like, I mean, I get that coconut smells really good.
Mm-hmm. Coconut oil is great for cooking.
I enjoy like the scent of coconut. I like a piña colada.
Yeah. That's not really coconut oil, but...
No, but like coconut. Just I think like people hot, just like coconut. It sure. makes you feel beachy. Yeah, you know? So it's
got a very beachy oil to put in
so
your
you
ears.
Want, you get your coconut oil, you turn on your Jimmy Buffett music.
Do any of these
put
work?
Put on your Hawaiian shirt. So here's the thing.
Okay.
Any of these... Oh, the other things to mention are water. A lot of people just say dump water in your ear, and then some people say rubbing alcohol. Yes. I've heard that a lot. And like rubbing alcohol mixed with... vinegar was one combo I saw a lot. I don't know why that.
Rubbing alcohol seems kind of savage.
The thing is about all these substances, one, you're right in the sense that if you dump anything that is somewhat irritating to the skin inside your ear canal, you run the risk of irritating the inside of the canal because the canal is very, it's very delicate. It's delicate skin. Like it wasn't made to be, you know, exposed to the elements
right.
in your ear canal, right? It's not like your hands. So one thing, it could irritate the inside of your ear. That being said, a lot of these substances will soften wax.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that it dissolves it. That doesn't mean that just dumping it in your ear is going to fix the problem, but these substances will soften it, which would make it easier to flush out with water, which is ultimately what we end up doing a lot of the time. So mm-hmm. like if you came to the doctor's office and you wanted to get your ears cleaned out, We have earwax softening drops in our office.
Got them at Rite Aid too.
You can get them at Rite Aid too. It's not, we don't
any
have any
drugstore really.
Not just Rite Aid. we're not endorsing Rite Aid. But you get some earwax softening drops or one of these substances, if you prefer, you put it in your ear and then you can flush it out with some water. We use something different in the doctor's office, but at home it's like with a bulb syringe, like you use in a baby's nose.
Right.
You just squirt some water in there and flush it back out. You can do the same kind of thing if you just tilt your head to the side in the shower.
Yeah.
And kind of let the water run in and out.
And then you just get in there with the Q-tip and...
No, that's the important thing. Do not stick things in your ears. So Q-tips and bobby pins are the most frequent things.
Bobby pins are great. You know what? I like a nice pin cap. Pin cap.
No.
Like a Bic pin cap. Has that long prong thing at the end of it. It's just like, get in there.
Okay.
Scrape it out.
Here's the thing about that. You should not stick these things in your ears. For a couple good reasons. One, very practically speaking, I'm assuming you're attempting to get the earwax out.
Right.
You're much more likely to just shove it further back in when you do that. Earwax is not supposed to be up against the eardrum.
Okay.
That's not where it belongs.
Right.
But I find it there a lot, and it is because people have stuck things in their ears and shoved the earwax all the way up against their eardrum. So that's number one. Number two, you might rupture your tympanic membrane, your eardrum. You might actually accidentally stick something through it. That's bad.
Sounds
you don't
bad.
Want to do that.
That sounds very bad.
So that's another good reason. Don't do it. Number three, again, the ear canal is very sensitive. And I have seen ear canals that have been like cut and scraped and damaged from people sticking things like bobby pins, pin caps. I've seen toothpicks. I've seen all kinds of like just little plastic sharp things that people
toothpicks
find.
Toothpicks is rough. I don't know who's doing toothpicks.
I've seen lots of different plastic implements that people will say they have stuck in their ears and they scrape the inside of their ear canal and then they get an infection in their outer ear and your ear gets all red and swollen and that's a bad scene. So
if you had been intended to dig that stuff out of there, your finger would be smaller or your ear holes would be bigger.
I will tell my patients, don't stick anything in your ear that is smaller than your elbow.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well,
there's got to be some other remedy here, Sid.
The one that I want to talk about the most as far as like crazy medical things that have persisted through time is ear candling.
Mm-hmm.
Or coning.
Yeah.
Now, Justin, are you familiar at all with ear candling?
Yeah. Yeah.
You are?
Yeah. I know the basic idea.
Okay. Well, okay. I'm going to explain it, though.
That's good.
I'm not going to. Do you want to?
No, it's fine.
Do you want to try to explain it?
No, I don't think I actually understand it that well. I have sort of a vague idea of what it is, but I don't really.
So people will
although
claim,
I used to think it was just lighting a candle near your ear. I never really understood how that would be helpful. Like, well, you got the wax hot. Or something. I don't know.
You may as well do that.
Okay, well, good.
But we'll get into that.
All right.
So proponents of ear candling will claim that it dates back to basically every ancient civilization.
All the old folks are doing
it. You'll see some people who will claim that it's the Greeks did it. Some say it started with the Egyptians, others the Romans, ancient Chinese culture, early Native Americans. The largest manufacturer of these things claims that it's a Hopi cure. The Hopi Indian, the Hopi Native Americans, they were the ones who came up with it initially. But there is no, not only is there no evidence that that's true, but like spokespeople for the Hopi Nation have come out and said, like, no, this is not a thing that we didn't come up
with. Don't put this on us.
Please stop associating us with this. This is not our thing.
So what is it?
Okay. So the procedure is really simple, but this sounds totally bonkers when you describe what you're going to do. You take either a hollow candle, so a candle just like a tube of wax, or most of the time you won't have that, so you're going to take a piece of paper that has been like coated in some sort of wax, beeswax usually, or you'll see paraffin, although that's like a big point of contention among the people who do this, is they'll say, well, paraffin causes cancer, though, if you stick it in your ear. Yeah. So use natural beeswax, and sometimes they put things like rose oil in the beeswax and stuff like that. But it's paper coated with that, and then you roll it into a cone, okay? You're going to stick one end of that cone, that tube, into your ear.
Okay.
And then the other end you're going to light on fire.
Okay, got it. So I just set that on fire then.
Right.
This is all of a sudden become a danger situation. It is. Sort of a suspense thriller.
It is absolutely a dangerous situation because the other end of that is in your ear.
Right, let's get it all in there. Whatever's happening up there, let's get it all in.
So you're going to lay down to do this. You can either lay down on like the unaffected ear so that it's straight up in the air, sticking out of your ear. And if you're going to lay down in that position, they recommend that you take like a paper plate with a hole in it or like a pie tin or something like that to put around the tube or the candle to catch bits of wax or, you know, ash or cinders or things that fall. Kind of like those, like if they give you a candle, like on holidays and church, you know, the little paper circle. Yeah. Same idea. Or they also say if you don't have something like that, you could lay on your back and then just kind of hold the ear candle out to the side over something else that'll catch the dripping stuff.
Okay.
The magic, and then so you let it burn until it's about 4 to 6 inches above your ear. You'll hear some of them say it needs to be a little closer than that, but like 4 to 6 inches. So they say like stop before it gets to your ear.
All right.
Don't let the fire burn all the way to your head.
That's instinctually where I was going, but I'm glad to know I'm backed up by
You never know with these things, really. The magic at that point is that you're done. So you've extinguished the flame. You take the tube out of your ear and you unroll it.
Right.
And then you see wax. Well, it's because the wax is in the paper now. Like, it came out.
It didn't, because first off, it wasn't wax. It was cerium. And
the thing is that what they'll tell you is, yes, of course, because the obvious answer is, well, I mean, there was wax in the paper.
Right.
So, like, if you see some melted wax on the paper.
That's what's up.
Like, it was. I mean, you burned it. It was wax.
And I've seen you can light an ear candle, like, without putting it in an ear, and it will still be full of gunk at the end.
So what they will tell you is that your earwax is now mingled with that earwax. And you can tell this by the color change that exists in the wax. Mm. It looks different than it did before. And it's because of the presence of all the stuff from your ear that is now there too. And it's cleaned out all these toxins. And the colors tell them different things about like how much they got out or how dirty your ear was. And so the general goal, and what most people will say this does, is remove earwax from your ear. And their reasoning is that it creates like a vacuum, like negative pressure that like sucks the earwax out as it's burning.
Okay.
That is the thought behind it. In addition to cleaning out your ears, though, there are people who claim that it does a lot more, that it will clean out residue from your lymphatic system. Their statement is that your ear connects to your eustachian tube, which connects to your lymphatic system, which carries lymph fluid throughout your body.
Yeah, a lot of systems in the body are connected. It's an organism, right?
Well, no. This is all wrong.
Oh,
but let me tell you what they're telling you that's going to happen. So basically, since it's connected to your lymphatic system, they say that your lymphatic system has all this ash or toxin, some sort of lymphatic ash that is in it, that's because of all the junk in our dirty industrialized world that you're exposed to, and all of the terrible things you eat and all the terrible things you breathe. And so you can suck it all out through this connection in your ear by ear candling. And so by doing this, not only will you remove wax and improve your hearing, but you'll clean out your sinuses, you'll fix your allergies. They believe that it realigns the bones in your cranium.
Oh,
that your
cool.
skull bones will get back in order.
Finally, hey, you guys, you rascals, get back in order.
Get back where you belong, skull bones. All your senses will be heightened afterwards. Colors will look more vibrant. If you were telepathic before, you'll get more telepathic after. We're not guaranteeing that you'll become telepathic.
That's why Professor X never gets ear candling. It's just like too much.
It would be too much.
Too much. Too overwhelming. I'm just so telepathic right now.
Be careful, though, because you may actually hear so well after you do ear candling that, like, sounds are too much
for
you.
You'll hear neighbors talking crap about you.
Exactly.
Like, hey, I can hear you. I'm only three houses away.
I can hear them all at once.
Bionic.
So then you have to take some organic cotton and put it in your ear so you don't freak out.
Oh, cool. I'll be back for that later with more candles, I guess.
You do it, like, every 3 days or so, or maybe every week. Or maybe less than that. You basically just like use your intuition. You know,
whatever feels right for this fake thing.
Right. Whatever feels right for your ears. To get the ear candles at home, you can buy them. They're like $2 or $3 a piece. Mm-hmm. To do it at home, it's not that expensive. But if you want a professional session, which you can go for, there are people who will do this as like their job, I guess.
Yeah.
It can be up to $120 a session.
Listen. I get it. I do. I get it. It's relaxing, probably. When you say it's probably relaxing, if you can get past feeling like a
sure,
a little silly. Yeah.
Maybe
it might be relaxing.
I don't know. There's fire awfully close to your head for it to be relaxing.
Like, yeah, it's like right there. But
I don't like fire close to my head.
Well, that makes two of us, Sydney. That's true. Okay, I don't actually get it, I guess.
So, Justin, you're probably wondering if this works.
I have a suspicion, but you go first.
Before I tell you if this works, why don't we go to the billing department?
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. You know, sometimes I waste too much time thinking. Thought is the root of all suffering. You know, I that's something that I've heard that I think there's a lot of truth in. So why don't we try letting let go of thought and get into action, right? Get your project in front of you and start building a website for it with Squarespace. Squarespace is a fantastic tool for creating your website because, first of all, you can start building out these ideas in a way that lets you visualize them, right? I'm not a thinker that thinks in words. I have to think in images. So with a Squarespace website, you're able to start taking that idea out of your brain and putting it in front of you. And it's going to look great because the templates you're going to be using are made by world-class designers, some of the best in the biz. And if you're having trouble with any of the stuff that you're doing with your Squarespace website, they have incredible support that's there to have your back every step of the way. And with a Squarespace website, you can't just like share information. You can really kind of do anything with these websites. You can sell products, calendars, just keeping in touch, whatever. The Squarespace tools are incredibly powerful and flexible and well worth checking out. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code sawbones to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. You got so much to take care of. Spring's right around the corner. You're busy. You're cleaning up. You're getting your life back in order. You're getting ready to emerge like from your chrysalis, like a beautiful butterfly. You don't have time to slave away in the kitchen. You don't have time to waste a bunch of time cooking dinner that you don't have time to do. You got to get out there, but you still got to feel your body, give it the delicious, fresh stuff that it craves, right? Well, good news, because there's Factor. These meals are always fresh, never frozen, and they're ready to eat in about 2 minutes. You don't have to prep them. No prep, no stress. Slap them in the microwave, heat them up, and they're going to be delicious. Not like the microwave meals you remember from when you were a kid, kind of grody. These are nice. These are designed by dietitians. They're crafted by chefs. So you're going to eat well. You're going to eat in a way that sustains you and makes you happy. And it's not going to take a lot of your time. Head to factormeals.com/sawbones50off and use code sawbones50off to get 50% off and free breakfast for a year. Eat like a pro this month with Factor. New subscribers only, varies by plan. One free breakfast item per box, one for 1 year while subscription is active. So Sydney, I've been waiting on pins and metaphorical pins and needles.
that I hope you weren't sticking in your ear.
No, nothing in there.
Okay, good. All right, so you probably want to know at this point, does ear candling work? If you couldn't tell by my attitude towards it.
Right.
Okay. So it doesn't. It's been studied. There is evidence. This isn't even something that we just, I mean, it's not like the medical community has disregarded this offhand. It doesn't work on several levels. The science doesn't make sense. They've actually tried to measure the pressure differential to see, is it creating negative pressure inside the
like ear? Like a suction.
Yes. Is it creating a vacuum inside the ear cone or candle? No, it's not. There is no pressure difference. So it's impossible for this to work, first of all, because it's not creating any suction power. Plus, the suction power, let's say theoretically it did, the amount of suction that you'd have to create inside that ear candle that you've just lit on fire would be so strong to actually suck earwax out of your ear that you would probably rupture your eardrum.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't, I mean, it doesn't, the science isn't there. It doesn't work. Also, if we go on past the earwax claims to the whole thing about your lymphatic ash and whatnot, your ear canal ends in the eardrum. It, like, you can't go all the way into your brain gut. You know that, right?
Yeah, I do, Sid.
Okay, like, it stops where your eardrum, your tympanic membrane is.
Got it. That's
the end of it. It's like a closed system. Now, there's stuff past that, yes, but there's a wall there. It's called your eardrum.
Curly Q, right?
What?
Like the little curly Q in the ear canal.
The semicircular canals, yeah.
It's like a snail.
Yeah, there you go. You're getting into some human body ear anatomy.
Like a toddler understands where cereal is kept in their home.
That's good, though.
It's just codes and symbols.
That's. But the important thing is that...
Moo juice. Do you mean milk? Yes.
You can't suck something out of your ear canal and also expect to suck something out of the space beyond it. Unless there's also a hole in your eardrum, in which case, well, that's not good. There shouldn't be. I mean, you know, ideally, you shouldn't have one. And two, they actually recommend against it. Like, if you have a hole in your eardrum, they tell you don't do ear candling. So, this is dumb.
This is dumb.
One study, they've done studies to see if it worked. And not only does it not work, but they've all actually shown that in one study, participants had more wax and blockage in their ears at the end of it.
Because of the
wax that was melting and dripping into their ear from the ear candle. So it might actually make things worse. Also, there have been many cases of people burning themselves with ear candles and cones. And that's bad. You don't want to burn your eardrum. There's somebody who burned a hole in their tympanic membrane. So... you know, it's recommended against by the FDA and basically every medical society.
We have another podcast on the Maximum Fun Network, which we're a part of, called Ono, Ross, and Carrie, where they try things like this out. They do have an ear candling episode where they go and get ear candling. If you're curious what the firsthand experience of getting ear candling is like, check that out.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about, as I was researching ways to remove earwax, like I said, it kind of all boiled down to the remedies we've talked about. And there is so much information about ear candling on the internet. Oh my gosh, like, it's overwhelming. You look for earwax and you're just going to have thousands of hits about ear candling. Okay, so I've already told you that I am kind of a fan of earwax. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, since I've already talked about the ways I don't want you to remove the earwax... some people were in my camp and actually thought that not only was earwax a good thing, but that it could be used as medicine. So for a while, it was advised that you put earwax on cold sores, just dig it out of your ear.
And wouldn't that be the like best, like most convenient, like body thing? You were like, God's like, oh, cold sores, no big ish. Check your ears.
Just dig some That's wax right. out of there.
I made a dispenser for you. They're for hearing and also dispensing balm.
Which I also like the idea that, you know, you have a cold sore and let's say it is one that's on the outside of your mouth. So it's maybe like you're a little...
If an exhibit was an angel, that's what he would do to human bodies to pimp their rides. Like, yo, I heard you get cold sores sometimes, so check it out in your ears.
But I like the idea that... if you're a little self-conscious about it, because some people who get cold sores don't like the way they look, and so they might get a little self-conscious, like they don't, you know, they're trying to cover it up or, you know, whatever. I love the idea that the way to do that would be to put earwax on it, because then, like, that's not
No, it's no problem.
That's definitely more, that's something more pleasing to the eye, right?
Yeah, everyone wants to see that.
If you have a cold sore, you then put your wax smear,
yeah,
over top of it. I also found a recipe from 1832 for a lip balm that used earwax.
Kind of a home thing? Home recipe?
I'm assuming.
Is your own supply?
Yeah, I don't think it was sold widely. Like, here, check out my earwax. Put it on your lips. Good for cold sores and just for chapped lips.
Perfect.
So my actual advice about earwax, I'm not telling you to put it on cold sores or use it for chapstick. That's just kind of odd. For the most part, don't mess with it.
Okay.
Earwax
is going to be hard to do. I really wanted to mess with it.
So for most of the time, if it's not causing you a problem, if you're just aware that it's there, you know, if you just like dug some out with your fingernail or whatever, mm-hmm. It's probably not causing any problems. So just leave it alone. It's going to migrate out of your ear slowly over time. Did you know that?
No.
That's what it's made to do. It's produced by those glands in your ear canal. And then it slowly works its way out, mainly as you like chew and move your jaw. That's supposed to help slowly move the earwax along.
Okay,
and then it gets drier on the outside and it kind of flakes off and falls out. That's what earwax is supposed to do.
Okay.
And that's why you don't want to remove all of it, because some of it is good or your ears will be all dry and itchy if you remove all your earwax. If it is bothering you, if you do think it's interfering with your hearing or causing you some other problem, or if you think it like looks weird or different and you're worried that something is going on, don't stick stuff in your ear.
Been very clear about this. Right? Absolutely.
You can always, if you're concerned, if something weird or new is going on, you should probably go talk to your doctor about it. And if it is just that you need some earwax removed, I mean, sometimes your primary care doctor can do it for you. I do it. Sometimes you might need to go to a specialist like an ear, nose, and throat doctor or an otolaryngologist, and they can do it for you. We have ways of removing your earwax. And sometimes I'll just tell patients about there are over-the-counter kits. Mm-hmm. That are safe to use.
Yeah.
That mainly just have like earwax, you know, softening drops and like a little bulb syringe. Mm-hmm. And you can use just like water, room temperature water. Or you can like, you know, move your head to the side in the shower, let mm-hmm. it rinse out. And if you want to use all those other things that I mentioned, like the vinegar and the hydrogen peroxide and all that, you will find, this is interesting, I found multiple ENT, otolaryngologist specialists in this area. Websites where they give patients advice to do that.
Hmm.
Any of those substances.
Really?
Basically, the idea is they're just naming different things that might soften the earwax. I would be really careful about it just because I do worry about the irritation of the inside of the ear canal. I'd say you're better off just with water. And again, if there's any problem, just, you know, go let your doctor check it out. They may tell you to leave your earwax alone.
They probably will. Doctors love it, apparently. Doctors are crazy about it.
It may just be me.
Thank you all so much for listening. I want to say a big, big thank you to the taxpayers for letting us use their song Medicines is the intro and outro of our program. Make sure to go buy all their tunes. And thanks again to the Maximum Fun Network for letting us be a part of their extended family. Go listen to that Ono, Ross, and Carrie episode about ear candling. It's sure to be gross. What did you knock over?
Sorry.
What'd you do?
No, I just kicked something.
You're destroying my office, my home away from home, inside my home.
I thought this was our podcasting studio.
It is a podcasting studio. Private
podcasting studio.
Anything else, Sid?
Thank you at home for listening.
Yes. Oh, that's right. I have a list. We have a P.O. Box, P.O. Box 54, Huntington, West Virginia, 25706. And some folks have been kind enough to send us things. Thank you to Penny and Lydia for the old newspaper. Thanks to Trillian for the notes. We got some Switchel from Vermont Switchel after talking about that during our
vinegar episode. It was actually delicious.
It was really good.
I know crazy for we Switchel. Were all skeptical about vinegar-based drinks, but yeah. I'm on board.
By the way, it came from Vermont Switchel. There was no note. If you sent that to us, please let us know, because I don't know. Pat Edbury sent a huge peppermint patty. Your peppermint patty, the size of a dinner plate, as requested. We've got some delicious dairy milk that we candy bars that we just finally finished last night from Colin, Kristen, Thea, and Millie.
Which we thank you for.
I'm a
little bit angry because we ate them all, but they were delicious.
We also got a really beautiful handmade pillow made by Lauren for Charlie. She has lots of pillows at Pello, P-E-L-L-O, twice.com. And,
Charlie loves that pillow, loves by the way. Yeah, she carries it around and she's really cute with it.
And finally, a graduation announcement that we got from David, who sent it to several Maximum Fun or McElroy family hosted shows.
McElroy Fun.
McElroy family shows. And so, congratulations. That's going to do it for us. We're done.
Don't stick stuff in your ear.
Don't stick stuff in your ear. And don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.